Luke chapter 6.
From verses 1 to 11. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them out in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking a consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus.
Well, good morning again, folks. And how are you all going anyway? Keeping well, I hope. I ask this question because Australia is becoming a very health-conscious nation. Never before has there been such a high ratio or proportion of doctors to patients. And never before have doctors been so busy. Try making an appointment at Tamora. Could take you 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. You know, painkillers, vitamin pills, all these things are multi-million dollar businesses growing by the week. We pick up our papers and we see articles and adverts telling us how to eat, what to eat. Our newspapers, magazines, glossy magazines, TV at night, bombarded with health care items, advertising products that will make our hair look better, make our face look better, products to help our eyes, products to give us more energy, products to make us sleep better, products to relieve headaches, aches and pains in the muscles and joints, products to keep the cold away, products to calm you down, some to help you lose weight, some to make you look younger, and the list goes on and on. We are a very health-conscious nation. So I'd like to have a look at our health this morning. In my talk, I'm going to talk about your physical health and also your spiritual health. Let's first have a quick look at your physical health. How is your heart? How's the blood pressure? How's your cholesterol level? I hope you are taking the appropriate action to keep these things where they should be. I hope you're watching what you eat, and I hope you're exercising on a regular basis. Two men in heaven. We're talking to each other and sharing about how wonderful heaven was, what a magnificent place it was. And one man said to the other, "You know, if we had not been so conscious about what we're eating and weren't so fanatic about our fitness, we could have been up here 10 years ago enjoying all this." So let's begin with our spiritual checkup, as we should do with our physical checkup too. Is your heart, is your spirit becoming weaker? Is there a lack of love for God and his word within your heart? Is there a lack of love for God's people within your heart? Is your heart becoming greedy or selfish? Is your heart becoming earthly minded? We need to check our hearts for these weaknesses on a regular basis. We need to look inside and see if our soul is healthy. You know, if your soul is unhealthy, it will show up in your physical condition. If your soul is unhealthy, you will be stressed, you will be angry, and you will be guilty. I read just recently where 90% of doctors' visits are stress-related. All of this negative energy is poisoning your soul. The Bible tells us that spiritual sickness begins in the heart, and that's exactly where the treatment must begin also. Ezekiel, the prophet, passed a message on to the Israelites that they needed a new heart, a heart transplant, because their problem was so severe. As recorded in Ezekiel 18, "I will give them a new heart and a new mind. I will take away their stubborn heart of stone and will give them an obedient heart." But the great surgeon that we know will only do these things on the request of the patient. And the request could well come in the words of the psalmist, who recognised his need and said this, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and give me a loyal and new spirit." But Jesus goes even further than this. He states quite clearly that nothing less will suffice than to go right back to the beginning of the infection. He said, "You must be born again, born spiritually." So even if you are feeling quite well about yourself and quite good about yourself, it's time for a checkup. Only God knows the true condition of your heart, and only he can forgive, only he can heal, and only he can give you a new life and a productive future. How's your appetite? You know, we can lose our spiritual appetite quite easily. And when this happens, it weakens us. It weakens us to such an extent that all our desire for reading the Bible, all our interest in prayer disappears. And even interest in attending church becomes a burden. How sad we must feel for those who have lost the spiritual desire, the desire for spiritual food. As the human body fades away with lack of food, so will the presence of God in our hearts fade away through lack of spiritual food. Don't wait until a disaster strikes. Don't wait until there's a real crisis in your life. Don't wait until there's a real need. Keep in constant contact with God. Like your everyday meals, don't wait until you're hungry. Have spiritual food on a regular basis. Small portions, if that's the way you'd like to have it. Enjoy your spiritual food with friends, church family, and other Christians. How's your eyesight today? Our spiritual eyesight, it needs regular checkups as well. When our spiritual eyesight weakens, we fail to see our own spiritual needs, and we fail to see the spiritual needs of those around about us. John, as recorded in 1 John, had the spiritually short-sighted in mind when he wrote, "Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in it and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has made him blind." And in Luke chapter 11, we read, "Your eye is the lamp of your body." When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is full of darkness. You know, it's estimated that 80% of what children learn in school is via visual means. Vision is one of the most important senses of successful learning. In our journey through life, we need to keep our eyes on the plan that Jesus has for all of us, for each one of us, really. We need to make a straight path to the eternal goal. Don't look back at the past. And as I look around the congregation this morning, I can see a few farmers here who are old enough to have driven tractors without GPS assistance. And on many occasions, we come to a paddock, we divide into two, we set sail across the paddock, hoping to make a straight line. We'd line the front of the tractor up with a tree some hundreds of metres down the track, another one beyond that again, and we'd keep those three things in line. We had great plans, most of us, but time and time again, we'd have to look back and see if the machine was still coming behind us and doing its job. And as soon as we did that, we lost the plot, we lost the path, we lost the track. It's very hard to focus on things ahead while you continue to look back. Hebrews 12, chapter 2, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What wonderful, wonderful information. Now, most of us are prepared to have regular checks on our health, regular tests, x-rays if needed, and we are prepared to do this on a regular basis. Most of us are prepared to have a doctor or a surgeon look at us, examine us, advise us how we could keep our health in the best condition possible. Most of us are prepared to take our car down to the garage and tell the serviceman, go right through it, mate, check everything out. I want it right. I want it at its best. But how often are we prepared to stop and let Jesus examine us mentally and spiritually? How often are we willing to let Jesus in his quiet time examine us? Are we prepared to stand in front of our Maker and repeat the words from Psalm 139? Search me, O God, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we're so fortunate in this country to have such wonderful medical care. And sometimes we have major changes and replacements to our bodies. It's amazing what these men can do. There's a fun story told about a heart surgeon who had his much loved Harley Davidson motorbike in for major repairs. New rings, pistons, valves, the works. And when he came to pick it up, the young mechanic said to him, how come I get paid very little for what I do compared to what you get for a major operation? The surgeon thought for a while, then he replied, have you ever tried doing your repairs with the motor running? Continuing our medical test, how's your hearing? Some are shaking, but it means they must have heard me anyway, sir. Hearing, a truly wonderful gift, isn't it? And Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. That's found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. But it's also repeated 16 times in the New Testament. 16 times, mind you. 10 of those are in the book of Revelation. And Jesus emphasizes the importance of listening to him, not just with our physical ears, but with a receptive heart and a receptive mind. We need to be alert and ready to listen. There's a man who had a very serious hearing problem. Matter of fact, his hearing almost disappeared. And he went and had a new hearing aid fitted, the most modern one you could find, probably the most expensive one you could find. And after 6 months with a new hearing aid, he went back to the specialist and the doctor said, how's it all going? He said, it's wonderful. I can hear every word my family says now. It's wonderful. The doctor did a few more tests. He said, yes, it looks as though it's working really well for you. And as he's leaving the room, the doctor asked this patient again, what did the family think about it? He said, well, for the first 4 months, I never told them. I just sat there and listened to every word. And in that time, I changed my will 3 times. In the Bible passage that Hugh read to us this morning, the Pharisees were the sick ones, but they weren't aware of it. They showed all the signs of spiritual sickness, but were utterly unconscious of their need. And we too must be alert for telltale signs in our own souls and quick to take the right action. That man with the paralyzed hand that we heard about this morning, he realized he had a sick hand. And he knew that his ability and his usefulness was very restricted. He also knew that he had to do three things to be made whole again. And these three things apply to us who are suffering spiritual sickness at any time. Firstly, this man had to come to Jesus. And being in the synagogue on the Sabbath was a pretty smart move on his part. And it is on our part too. For Jesus has promised that whenever two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be there. And secondly, when Jesus spoke to this man, he had to be willing to listen and obey. Jesus' words to this man were so, so simple. Stretch out your hand. Now, this man, this paralytic, could have adopted the attitude of many of today and could have said, well, sir, I'd like to have a second opinion before I take up your way of healing me. Or he could have said, well, sir, you don't really understand my problem. You ask me to hold out my hand. That's the very thing I cannot do. But he didn't think twice about it. He obeyed. Because he considered the third requirement, and that was to believe. Again and again, Jesus emphasizes that faith in him is absolutely necessary for those who come to him for help and for healing. And that still applies today. Is your heart at peace today? Are there some elements of guilt or worry? Are there some elements of anger, self-pity? Is there a touch of jealousy there somewhere? Are you holding on to past events? Is there still a grudge there from many, many years ago? You know, a bitter root produces bitter fruit. We try to fix the fruit when really the problem is in the root. And sometimes we cannot see what is poisoning us. No one has control over your soul but you. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control your response. A world today full of so much depression, so much anxiety, so much fear. In Australia alone, there's an alarming increase in the rate of depression and anxiety in young people. When you think about Australia, it seems hard to believe in a way because young people in Australia today seem to have so much. And I guess it's so much of the material things that they have and not enough of the Christian belief, the Christian faith. And I feel a lot of this could be prevented, could be cured, could be treated by turning back to Jesus. Rather than turning to doctors, physicians, psychics, and a jar of pills. Jesus said, come unto me, All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the book of Matthew, we read, if anyone wants to come to me, he must forget himself, take up his cross every day, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In closing this morning, I'd like to leave you with four tips for better spiritual health. First one is a healthy diet. And that means regularly reading the Word of God. The second one is ongoing medication. Ongoing, that means ongoing prayer and confession. Three, regular exercise. Putting your faith and belief into practice. And the fourth one, regular checkups. Ask yourself this question. Am I allowing God to rule and guide my life? God needs our bodies and our minds to be in very good condition so we can continue to serve him. Amen.